on the occasion of Srila Prabhupada's acceptance of sannyas, reading from Canto 11, Chapter 23, chapter entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahman. Translation: I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who were fixed in firm devotion to Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in his Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 3.6. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. In connection with this verse, there is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.23.57. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance on the symbolic marks of sannyas is the regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita 6.1, it is stated, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not a sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. The word Paratmanishtha means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratmanishtha, the Supreme Person. Paratma, the Supreme Person, is Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a three danda was paratmanishtha. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as Tridandi sannyasi. The Mayavadi sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the purpose of Tridanda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atmanishtha, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyas. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then existing order of sannyas, namely Ekadanda, he still recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridanda sannyas accepted by the Brahman of Avantipur. Indirectly, he declared that within that Ekadanda, one danda, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekadanda sannyas without Paratmanishtha, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the Jiva Danda to the three danda. These four dandas bound as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. Because the Ekadandi sannyasis of Mayavada school are not devoted to the service of Krishna, they try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. They accept this impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a three-dandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ek-dandi sannyasi. This is due to their vivarta, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as an ek-dandi sannyasi. Indeed, the three-dandi sannyasi is accepted as the symbolic representation of the sannyas order. By citing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis who are enamored of the external energy of the Lord cannot understand the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a long purport, so I'll only speak till here. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order. And Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas was very much connected to the mood of Krishna in Vrindavan. Premaras niryas kuriti aswadan ragamarga loke bhakti kuriti pracharan. Krishna appears for two purposes, to taste the love of his devotees in Braj and to teach that love. So when Krishna was performing pastimes for those 11 years in Vrindavan, the gopis, they offered themselves to Krishna unconditionally. And therefore, the gopis purchased Krishna by their love. The quality of love is understood by two principles. Just like gold is tested, the strength of iron is tested, the purity of oil or milk is tested, the power and the strength of the body is tested. So there are various ways of testing the quality of different items. How do you test the quality of love? So love is tested by two things. One is unpredictability and second is separation. In Vrindavan, Krishna put the Brajavasis through various unpredictable situations. And the Brajavasis would always respond to Krishna's demands without fail. And so, Krishna was totally within the control of the Brajavasis' love. And this is one of the prime features of Sri Vrindavan Dham, that the devotees in Braj would respond to Krishna's love instantly. However unpredictable, uncertain the situation may be, but the Brajavasis would always respond. And therefore, Krishna was controlled by the love of the Brajavasis. Second is, Krishna left Vrindavan and for 100 years he did not return. And still, every moment, in spite of that separation, the Brajavasis were constantly remembering Krishna. And their thoughts were centered around Krishna. And therefore, Krishna was completely under the control of the Brajavasis' love, because he had never seen this intensity and the purity of intention in anybody's love. And therefore, Brahmaji also glorifies the Brajavasis' love by saying, Ahoti dhanya vrajago ramanya stanyamritam pita mativa temuda yasam vibho vatsataratma jatmala yatriptaye adhyapina chala madhvara. Since time immemorial, devotees have worshipped Krishna and offered so many things for the pleasure of the Lord. But in that last 1 year, when Krishna has taken the form of all the cows, and Krishna in that form has been giving great pleasure to all the calves, Krishna has taken the form of the cowherd boys and is giving pleasure to all the different mothers, the kind of love which Krishna is receiving from the Brajavasis and the kind of pleasure which he is getting in drinking the milk of the gopis in the form of all of these cowherd boys, he has not experienced that pleasure through all of the yajñas and sacrifices and mantras since the beginning of creation. That is the intensity and the purity of the love of the Brajavasis. And therefore, Brahmaji says, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Prajokasam, Yanamitram Paramanandam Purna Brahma Sanatanam. The Brajavasis are so fortunate because they are getting the opportunity to reciprocate with Krishna just like a family member, as a friend, without the principle of awe and reverence. And so, Yavat ragadaya stena yavat kara graham graham yavat mohangri nigado tavat krishna na tejana. Vrindavan did not consist of a single person who was in the renounced order technically. But Brahmaji says the glory of the Brajavasis is that they are totally renounced in their consciousness, even when they are staying within families. Brajavasis are all performing regular domestic activities, taking care of their children, taking care of their profession, taking care of their families and homes, household paraphernalia. India has 700,000 villages. What makes Vrindavan different and unique to be repeatedly quoted and glorified by saints and sages since time immemorial? What makes Vrindavan special is that every resident in Vrindavan is constantly thinking about two questions: how to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna. And these two questions are manifesting in their mind constantly. And that meditation is the unique feature of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And these questions are being asked by the Brajavasis even when Krishna is not present and he has gone to Mathura and Dwarka, and they continue to ask this question. And therefore, Krishna considers the intensity of the affection and love of the Brajavasis to be supreme. They do not have any other object of affection, either in the presence or in the absence of Krishna, physically. And therefore, Krishna becomes purchased by the love of the Brajavasis. And so, Krishna, he explains to the Brajavasis, Na parayeham niravadya samyujam swasadhu krityapi vibudhayushapiva yama bhajan. Krishna says that the gopis, all of you have purchased me with your love so much that I do not have any wealth to repay that. So you please be satisfied with the purity and the intensity and the quality of your love. Na parayeham, I am in debt. And even for an entirety of the lifetime of Brahma, I will not be able to repay that debt because of the affection and the purity which you have demonstrated. And therefore, Krishna is completely conquered by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna goes to Mathura. He develops several relationships with other devotees. He goes to Dwarka. He expands the overall scope of his loving relationships. And Krishna continues to have wonderful reciprocations. But the gopis, in spite of Krishna leaving Vrindavan, they do not consider having any relationship with anyone, even though Krishna has gone. And so the gopis' love for Krishna remains vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. But Krishna thinks, but my response after leaving Vrindavan has been bahushakai anantascha, that I have had so many other relationships with other devotees, and therefore I can only reciprocate with the gopis one pointed devotion and affection for me in my next descent, that The gopis gave up everything for me. Pati sutanvayat, bratra bandhavat, ati vilangyate, achyutagatat, gati vidastavo. So they gave up everything for Krishna. So Krishna says, I am in so much of debt that I must try to repay that debt when I appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so when I appear as Sri Chaitanya, yes, I appear in the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. But still I have to go one step ahead and be one-pointed in my reciprocation and actually renounce all those things which the gopis renounced in their love towards me. Then I will be able to repay. And therefore, the Supreme Lord who is Rasaraj and Rasika Shekhar, the supreme enjoyer of all the rasas, decided to accept the renounce order. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts sannyas on January the 14th, 1510 in Katwa. And as a result of accepting the sannyas order, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus demonstrates that the purpose of accepting sannyas within this line is one can make the mind vacant of all other thoughts, renounce the mind of all other thoughts except two thoughts, how to serve Krishna and how to please Krishna, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Make the mind vacant of all other conceptions and only have the conception of Vrindavan Dham within. And as soon as Mahaprabhu accepts sannyas, the first thing he tries to do is run towards Vrindavan. And at that time Nityananda Prabhu tells cowherd boys, divert Mahaprabhu towards Bengal. And so Mahaprabhu comes to Bengal. And then he spends time with his devotees and Sachimata instructs him, please make residence in Puri. And so Mahaprabhu enters Jagannath Puri in the March of 1510. He has his argument and he defeats Sarvam Bhattacharya. And in the April and May of 1510, Mahaprabhu makes his South India tour. And the whole idea of Mahaprabhu visiting South India is to spread the Harinam Sankirtan. And as he is making his arrangement to travel to South India, Mahaprabhu requests his devotees to give blessings. And so the devotees are all saying to Lord Chaitanya, we want to travel with you. So Mahaprabhu does not want to travel with so many devotees because he feels that they will not allow him to express himself freely, to do the austerities required to demonstrate compassion, and they would interfere in various plans which he may have because of their love and affection. And so Mahaprabhu devises a plan and he says, Vishwarupa Siddhi Prapti Janina Sakal Dakshina Desha Uddharite Korin Echal. Mahaprabhu says, I will go to South India. Why? To search for my brother Vishwarup. So actually Vishwarup, who was a sannyasi, had already attained the spiritual world in Pandharpur. And Mahaprabhu knew that. But still Mahaprabhu thought, if I say I am going for a spiritual tour of South India, thousands may want to come. But if I say I am going to South India because I have to sort out some family issue, then others may say, okay, you go ahead. Nobody wants to be party to anybody's family affairs. So Mahaprabhu says, Vishwarup, I want to go and search for Vishwarup. But Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhu already knew that Vishwarup had departed by then. Vishwarup Siddhi Prapti Janena Sokal. Everybody knew. Dakshina Desha Uddharite. Still Mahaprabhu spoke like that. Korin Echal. So it appears that Mahaprabhu spoke half-truth. Chal. It was not the exact truth. But still, Mahaprabhu spoke that because he wanted to deliver the people in South India. Iha sabara vasha prabhu hoye jeje gune dosharop chole kore guna aswadane. And so Mahaprabhu spoke that because he wanted to demonstrate that actually I am completely under the control of my devotees' love and it is not possible for me to free myself from this influence unless I go alone. Otherwise the devotees will not allow me to preach and spread the holy names. And so Mahaprabhu went for 2 years, returned back to Jagannath Puri. Again, as soon as he came back, the only thing he wanted to do, please give me permission to go to Vrindavan. For 2 years, the devotees in Puri did not allow him to go to Vrindavan. Then finally, Mahaprabhu, with great difficulty, obtained permission. And Mahaprabhu said, I will go via Bengal. So then Mahaprabhu comes to Bengal. And then in Bengal, he meets Rupa and Sanatan. And after meeting and delivering Rupa and Sanatan, Sanatan Goswami tells Mahaprabhu, Durlabha Durgama Shai Nirjana Vrindavan Eka Ki Jaiba Ki Bhashanga Ekajan. Do not go to Vrindavan with thousands and thousands of people, millions of people, because Vrindavan is a very sacred place where one has to be completely focused on only thinking about how to serve and please Krishna. Millions of people traveling would distract your attention, and therefore do not go like this. So Mahaprabhu accepted Sanatan Goswami's feedback, returned back to Jagannath Puri, did not go to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu was sincerely eager to go to Vrindavan, but still he understood, we can only enter Vrindavan with the permission and the blessings of the devotees. He comes back to Jagannath Puri and then spends one full year again begging for permission. And then finally, on Dashera of 1515, Mahaprabhu leaves Jagannath Puri via Jharikhand to go to Vrindavan. And on Kartik Purnima of 1515, Mahaprabhu enters Vrindavan. He is only traveling with one person, two people. One is Balabhadra Bhattacharya and one more Brahmana. But then Balabhadra Bhattacharya in Vrindavan is in great agitation and anxiety because millions of people are coming and inviting Mahaprabhu for prasadam. And so Balabhadra Bhattacharya looks at Mahaprabhu and says, one day after a month of Mahaprabhu being in ecstasy in Vrindavan, Balabhadra Bhattacharya approaches Mahaprabhu and says that Pratah kale lok aise tomare na paaye, tomare na paaye lok more matha khaye. That in the morning people are coming searching for you and inviting you for prasadam and they don't find you because you are away in the forest of Vrindavan. They come and eat my head. And therefore, my dear Lord, I am in great anxiety in your association in Vrindavan. So that is interesting. That Balabhadra Bhattacharya was in total anxiety, in constant contact with bliss personified, and in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So Mahaprabhu looks at him and says, there is no point of me being in Vrindavan if you, a devotee, is not pleased. And therefore the principle of Vrindavan is the Vaishnavas must be pleased. To please you, I will leave Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu leaves Vrindavan and then comes back in 1516 January back to Allahabad. And then he has this conversation with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi and Prayag. And then in February of 1516, Rupa Sanatan enter Vrindavan on the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, both of them, they were actually very powerful politicians. Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister. Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. Dui bhai bhakta raja krishna kripa patra vyavahare rajamantri hoi rajapatra. Mahaprabhu glorifies Rupa and Sanatan to the devotees in Jagannath Puri and says that both of these brothers are king amongst the devotees. Bhakta Raja, Krishna Kripa Patra. They have received great mercy of Krishna. Vyavahari Raja Mantri, externally they appear to be politicians. Right? But in their home in Ramakeli, Rupa and Sanatan had created Vrindavan. Right? And so there are five types of Vrindavan. First, Goloka Vrindavan. Second, when Krishna is performing pastimes 5,000 years ago, that is known as Bhauma Vrindavan, where all the spiritual flavors of Vrindavan are in full glory. Everyone has a Chinmay Sharir there. Everything is Chinmay. Then, when Krishna ends his pastimes on the planet, at that point, Yogamaya covers Vrindavan. And what we see today is known as Drishyamana Vrindavan, that only those who are qualified will be given a darshan of that Vrindavan. Otherwise, one will consider Vrindavan to be material place because one does not have access. Fourth is Vrindavan in the heart of the devotees, and fifth is Vrindavan created on the instructions of the devotees. And like that, we have the Vrindavan Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki. The first Vrindavan created like that is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Krishna is missing Vrindavan in Dwarka, and Krishna instructs Brahmaji and Vishwakarma to create Vrindavan in Dwarka Palace. And so, that is the first Vrindavan created, that is known as Nava Vrindavan or Gupta Vrindavan. Then, second is created by Rupa and Sanatan in Ramakeli. Third is created by Srinivas Acharya in Ban Bishnupur near Murshidabad. Fourth is Vrindavan created by Rasikananda in Balasur. Fifth is Vrindavan created in outskirts of Jaipur called Kanaka Vrindavan. Then sixth is Uttar Vrindavan created in Almora. Seventh is Saraswati Thakur created this beautiful in Chaitanya Mat. Eighth is Srila Prabhupada created in New Vrindavan. Ninth, Shivaram Maharaj is created in Hungary, New Vrindavan. And tenth, we have tried to create in Govardhanico village. So these concept of creating Vrindavan is to facilitate the meditation on Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore, Rupa and Sanatan were sent by Mahaprabhu to accept the renounced order. But what was the whole idea? So that they could establish the glory of Sri Vrindavan. Because when Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan 500 years ago, at that point of time, after Mahmud of Ghazni attacked India and Braj, so practically all of the deities in the temples were gone missing. And so, in 1000 AD the attack happened. When Mahaprabhu entered Vrindavan, hardly anybody knew the connection between Vrindavan and Krishna at that point of time. And so Kaviraj Goswami says, Kalena Vrindavan Keli Varta Lupteti Tam khyapayatum vishishya kripamrtena abhishishya devas tatraiva rupam cha sanatanam cha. Mahaprabhu specifically gave the mission to Rupa and Sanatan to re-establish what? Kalena Vrindavan keli varta lupteti, that Krishna performed pastimes in Vrindavan and Vrindavan had such an intimate connection with Krishna, this fact had become very much diminished in that period. And Mahaprabhu wanted to establish this very strongly. And so he gave this mission to Rupa and Sanatan. Lupteti tam khyapayitum vishishya kripa prati. Therefore, not only to establish the lost holy places of pilgrimage, but also to establish the deities and the temples, so that seva and service to their lordships could be established. So that was the purpose of their accepting the renounced order. So Mahaprabhu says, Vidya, Bhakti, Buddhi, Bale, Parama, Pravin, Tabva, Apana, Ke, Mane, Trina, Hoitehin. And so, Rupa and Sanatan were very much advanced in intelligence, education, strength, political will, but still considered themselves to be lower than the straw in the street. And Mahaprabhu says, Tara dainya dekhi shuni paashana bidare tabuama dekhi tumi kohilu duhare. When I saw that they have so much of humility, just by seeing and experiencing their humility, even the stones would melt. And therefore seeing that, Mahaprabhu says, I spoke to Rupa and Sanatan, Uttama haiya hina kuri manah apanare ochire kori be krishna kurilu dohare. Mahaprabhu says, the essence of renunciation is that one may be highly qualified, but one considers himself to be extremely unqualified. Uttama hoya hina kori manah apanare. And therefore, Mahaprabhu glorifies Rupa and Sanatan as the ultimate renunciants because they had renounced their false ego and their false pride. And therefore, similarly, with Raghunath Das Goswami also, Nadia Basi Brahmanera Upajivya Pray Orthobhumi Gramedia Korena Sahai. Mahaprabhu was supported by Govardhan and Hiranya Mazumdar, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. But Raghunath Das Goswami simply had one desire to renounce. Rakshake rahat mui kemone chutiba kemone prabhuru sange nila chule jaba. He simply wanted to give up everything and come to Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. But Mahaprabhu intervenes and meets him in Bengal and tells Raghunath Das Goswami, Sthire huya ghore jahu nahau batu krome krome paye loka bhavasindukul. Be steady, do not be agitated, and understand that accepting renounced order of life is a very serious affair, and therefore you remain steady now, performing your activities. Wait for the right time and the right indication. And till then, what should you do? See, he says the essence of renunciation is antare nishtha kara bahya loka vyavahar achire koribe krishna tumara udhar. That you may be engaged in various activities externally, but antare nishtha kara, just like the Brajavasis, they were doing various activities, but in their mind space was totally occupied with the thoughts of how to serve and please Krishna. And therefore Mahaprabhu says to Raghunath Das Goswami, continue like that till the time will come. So Raghunath Das Goswami is wondering when that time will come. And Mahaprabhu says, Vrindavan dekhi jabe asibo nila chale tabe tumi ama pasha asiha kon chale. Mahaprabhu says, when I go to Vrindavan and return back, at that point by using some particular trick, you come to me. So Raghunath Das Goswami is thinking, how will things change? Because there is such strong, powerful security around me, so many guards, my parents would not allow me to go. How will I escape? How will things happen? So Mahaprabhu is telling him that yes, it will happen. How? Se chale se kale Krishna spurabe tomare Krishna kripa jare tare ke rakhite pare. Mahaprabhu says the essence of renunciation is dependence on Krishna helplessly. And therefore, if you continue aspiring and praying for the right moment. Se chale, se kale. At the right moment, the window will open. And when the window of opportunity will open, Krishna spurabe tumare. Krishna will give you intelligence from within. Krishna kripa jare tare ke rakhite pare. And when Krishna decides to give his mercy, who can stop you? And at that point, you will be able to come to me without fail. And therefore, Nityananda Prabhu glorifies Raghunath Das Goswami and says, how can you accept renounced order without pleasing the devotees and getting their mercy? And therefore, you should serve the devotees chida dahi, chipped rice. And therefore, to please Krishna is not expensive, is not difficult, but the intention to serve must be there. And so Nityananda Prabhu glorifies Das Goswami and says, Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Jai Janapai Brahmaloka Adi Sukha Tare Nahi Bhai. That this Raghunath Das Goswami is simply tasting the nectar of remembering the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. And that smell has overwhelmed him. And therefore he cannot be affected by the smell of sense gratification of this world. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Charane Chintiya Patha Chadi Patha Suke Jayena Jaya. So constantly thinking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet, Raghunath Das Goswami ran towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And so it is said here, Grame Grame Pathachadi Yai Grame Grame Kai Mane Vakye Chaitanya Charana Chinti. He was constantly thinking with his body, mind and words how to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Bhakshana apeksha nahi samasta divas gaman kshudha nahi badhe chaitanya charana praptye man. And so, what was the foundation of his accepting renunciation? Chaitanya charana praptye man. In his mind, he was constantly focused on how I can attain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And because his mind was fully occupied with this thought, bhakshana apeksha nahi, he was not concerned with eating. Samasta divasgavan, he was not concerned with sleeping. He was beyond all bodily necessities because his mind was constantly meditating on his goal, which is how to serve and please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, of Rupa and Sanatan, of Raghunath Das Goswami, in our line, Srila Saraswati Thakur also accepted the renounced order of life. And it is described that at one point of time, Bhakti Vilas Tirth Maharaj, who was at that time Kunja Babu, he returned back from abroad and he wanted to establish a mission for spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories. So he asked somebody in Calcutta, I want to organize a mission for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So someone said, there is Bimal Prasad and he's there in Mayapur and maybe you can go there and he will support because he is very qualified. So he comes searching for Srila Saraswati Thakur. And then someone says, well, he is doing bhajan all day and night, but only in the evening he will come to take a bath in the Jalangi. You can see him there. So Kunja Babu comes there and he's waiting there. And then from a distance he sees this very tall, effulgent personality running. And then with all of his clothes chanting, Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur, jumps into the Jalangi and comes out with his wet clothes. And he says that I want to meet you about organizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And Bimal Prasad, he looks at him and says, Gaur Nitai are there. They're doing kirtan. just see, Nitai Gaur, Nitai Gaur. And he runs behind. And then Kunja Babu is thinking, this doesn't seem to be the person who can organize something. Fast forward few years, there is a knock on the door. Kunja Babu opens the door and an effulgent personality in saffron is standing. And he said, many years back you had come saying you want to organize Mahaprabhu's mission. Are you still interested? He says, yes. He says, let us do the needful. And before that evening, the Gaudiya Math was established. And therefore, Srila Saraswati Thakur accepted the renounced order of life to spread the teachings of Mahaprabhu, to spread the teachings. And in 1922, in one Ultadanga junction on the terrace, Abhay Babu meets him, and the first thing Saraswati Thakur tells him, you must preach this in English language all over the world. And so, at that point of time, Srila Prabhupada, you know, is not having any direct plans to do anything. So Prabhupada is still a grihastha, and in 1933 Prabhupada gets initiated, and then Srila Saraswati Thakur departs December 31st, 1936. And then Srila Prabhupada, right in front of his eyes, sees the conflict happening in Gaudiya Math. Saraswati Thakur had several sannyasi disciples, but then as the Gaudiya Math conflict begins, Prabhupada sees right in front of his eyes various, you know, court battles happening, and the situation and the circumstances were not at all inspiring. And he could have given hundreds of excuses that I am not getting inspired by my senior god brothers. So many of my god brothers who got Saraswati Thakur's direct association are behaving like this. I am not feeling inspired. And therefore, if they are not following the mission properly, why should I? So devotional service is very, very focused, absorbing and individual. And each one of us have the opportunity to express ourselves, to serve and please Krishna, even though the circumstances may be very, very opposed. And so Srila Prabhupada continued having that conviction within his heart. And therefore, he remembered and meditated on that instruction of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada was in Sitakant Banerjee Lane. On the first floor, the Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis were having classes on Harinamamrita Vyakaran. Saraswati Thakur's another disciple, Dol Govinda Shastri, was teaching Gaudiya Math Brahmachari Sanskrit, Harinamamrita Vyakaran. Srila Prabhupada, as a grihastha, sometimes would chant on the staircase outside, and he was sitting and doing his japa. Dol Govinda Shastri came and sat next to Srila Prabhupada and said, Abhay Babu, I just gave a lecture on Prithviti Ache Jyata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Muranam. I spoke it, but I do not know whether it will ever happen. Abhay Babu got up. Srila Prabhupada took two steps down, looked at Dol Govinda Shastri, and pointing to him, he said, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that prediction, it must happen. And then Srila Prabhupada took two steps down further, turned back, and pointing towards Dol Govinda Shastri, he said, one day a fool surrendered at the lotus feet of Srila Saraswati Thakur will make it happen. And Prabhupada went down further, took further two steps. Dol Govinda Shastri started thinking, will that be me? Because he was also Saraswati Thakur's disciple. Prabhupada turned back, looked at Dol Govinda Shastri and said, it will not be you. And he started thinking, hey, what does Abhay Babu think? He's going to do it. How can he do it? Because he's always thinking of money, 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 business, business, business. How can he do that? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, at that time, who was a grihastha, he went through several challenges. But then in the midst of all those challenges, he continued remembering this instruction of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And that kept him going. And then Srila Prabhupada took Vanaprastha, and when he came to Sri Vrindavan Dham and in Vamsi Gopal temple, Prabhupada was staying. And at that point of time, he started getting dreams where Srila Saraswati Thakur would come and inspire him to take to the renounced order. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, thinking that the main Gaudiya Math, although in the midst of court battles, is still represented by the Sri Chaitanya Math. So maybe I should take sannyas from Sri Chaitanya Math. So when he wrote a letter asking for accepting sannyas from there, so Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj wrote back saying that the first priority for you is you should join the Sri Chaitanya Math. Because there are so many conflicts and this and that happening, you must first establish yourself as a member of this mat. And then, after you come and stay here, then we will consider, we will actually give you nice rooms where you can stay in well-lit, airy rooms. And we will make sure you will have no inconveniences. As far as your books are concerned, our first priority is to publish the various books of the Goswamis, including the Shat Sandarbhas. After those books are published, if we have funds, then we will think about printing your books. If we consider that those books will further the mission of our institution, the Sri Chaitanya Math. And therefore, as far as your sannyas is concerned, the purpose of your tridanda is to serve the society. And so, the Sri Chaitanya Math will then decide about your sannyas and then your visiting to America, etc. And so Prabhupada saw that the letter was not very encouraging. He didn't get discouraged. Again he wrote that ultimately I will only take sannyas for two reasons, so that it can help produce and publish and distribute the books, and second, so that I can go to America. So on 7th May 1959, again the letter came from Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, and he said that against, you know, the wishes of the senior members of the society, we cannot make a decision to fulfill the desire of one person. And therefore, the society will decide on these plans after we mutually consult with each other. But your duty right now, Abhay Babu, is to identify with our society, Sri Chaitanya Math. And for you, as far as preaching in America is concerned, two things are very important. There must be a dignified organization behind your efforts. Then only people will take you seriously in America. So identify yourself with Sri Chaitanya Math. And secondly, you have to establish yourself strongly in India. Only then your efforts in America will be fruitful. So Prabhupada at this point saw that there are too many uncertainties. And he saw that they do not have funding also to help print and publish his books. And there was tremendous uncertainty about their willingness to give him sannyas and support his mission in America. So Prabhupada went to another godbrother, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj of Keshav Ji Gaudiya Math. And Keshav Maharaj was very, very enthusiastic. And he said, immediately you take sannyas. So this was the exact opposite. And so Srila Prabhupada was very much inspired by the repeated encouragement. And so finally, he was so much inspired that in September of 1959, on 17 September, they organized the ceremony where Srila Prabhupada and one more of his godbrothers, both of them together, were offered the sannyas in Keshavji Gaudiya Math. Narayan Maharaj performed the sacrifice. Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj was presiding over this. Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was doing the kirtan. And Prabhupada was given the name Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj. So, and the other sannyasi, other person became Muni Maharaj. So these were the two people who got sannyas, and there is a famous photo of both of them standing next to Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. And with this, Srila Prabhupada was actually fully prepared to travel to the West, specifically to spread the mission as instructed by Srila Saraswati Thakur. So, he was given the name Bhakti Vedanta. So, what is the meaning of Bhakti Vedanta? And I'll end with this. So, there are 4 degrees of Vedic education. One is the Samhitas, second are the Brahmanas, which are the Samhitas contain the Yajna. The Brahmanas contain the rituals of the puja. The Aranyaka contain all the rules for renunciation and renounced order. And the Upanishad contain all the information required for liberation. So, Samhita, Brahmana, Aranyaka and Upanishad. And the Upanishads are also known as Vedanta or Vedanta. And these Vedanta has 5 different schools. One is the impersonalist school and 4 are the Vaishnava schools, the 4 Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishphalamati atakalo bhavishyanti chatvara sampradayana, the 4 sampradayas. And they all differ on 5 aspects. What is the relationship of Ishvara with Jiva? Second, what is the relationship of Jiva with Prakriti? Third, what is the relationship of Prakriti with Ishvara? Fourth, what is the relationship between Prakriti and Prakriti? And fifth is Jiva and Jiva. So all of these are the different aspects which, you know, the different Vedanta schools differ upon. And so, Bhakti Vedanta ultimately means 4 things. First, where the ultimate understanding of Vedanta is Bhakti. That is the first meaning of Bhakti Vedanta. Second, when the Vaishnavas study the Vedanta Sutra and other Vedic literatures to understand the glories of Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that is known as Bhakti Vedanta. The study of Vedanta from the Vaishnava perspective to understand glories of Krishna as Supreme. Third, when the spiritual harmony between knowledge and devotion is established, the spiritual harmony between Bhakti and Vedanta is established. They are not separate or opposite, but ultimately subservient. Savai pumsan paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ohaituki apratihata. Fourth is Bhakti Vedanta title is given to distinguish this Vedantist in the Bhakti school from all the other impersonalist schools. In order to differentiate that, so this kind of title is given so that a Vaishnava sannyasi is seen as separate from the other impersonalist sannyasis. So, with this, you know, Prabhupada's godbrothers, while giving this title, said, it's a new title amongst the Vaishnava society. It combines the devotion of religion with the scholarship of the most rigorous philosophy as passed down by the scholarly followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore the essence of Vedanta Bhakti is Savai Pumsan Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ohaituki Apratihata Yajatma Su Prasidati. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he actually accepted the sannyas order so that he could spread this message far and wide. And in the Keshavji Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada is sitting with his godbrother taking prasad. This is in 1962 or 63. Some family comes up, looks at this scene and goes down. Prabhupada turns to his godbrother and says, these people are just seeing 2 sannyasis sitting and eating roti. But they don't know that the future of Lord Chaitanya's movement is in the hands of one of those sannyasis. So Prabhupada had that kind of confidence and conviction that if he just takes this mission of Mahaprabhu on the order of Saraswati Thakur, spreads all over the world, then Krishna consciousness will actually be established in every town and village. So on the occasion of Srila Prabhupada's sannyas, we are very grateful that Srila Prabhupada demonstrated a great example of renunciation, and we feel extreme gratitude for His divine grace for going through all of these hardships so that He could actually share the compassion of Mahaprabhu's kripa with all of us. His divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Vishwarup Mahotsav ki, Thai Gaur Premanande.